The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 27, Text number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on November 14th, 2009, in Helsinki, Finland.
Today, in this auspicious gathering of sadhus, we are studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 27. Text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Te Vasudevaya. Sarva Bhuta Samatvena.
Sarva Bhuta Samatvena.
Nirvarena Prasangata.
Ramacharyena Maunena.
Svadharmena Baliyasa. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In executing devotional service, one has to see every living entity equally, without enmity towards anyone, yet without intimate connections with anyone. One has to observe celibacy, be grave, and execute his eternal activities, offering the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. A devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who seriously engages in devotional service is equal to all living entities. There are various species of living entities, but a devotee does not see the outward covering. He sees the inner soul inhabiting the body. Because each and every soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not see any difference. This is the vision of a learned devotee. Explained in Bhagavad Gita, a devotee or a learned sage does not see any difference between a learned Brahman, a dog, an elephant, or a cow, because he knows that the body is the outer covering only, and that the soul is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. A devotee has no enmity towards any living entity, but that does not mean he mixes with everyone. That is prohibited. Aprasangataha means not to be in intimate touch with everyone. A devotee is concerned with his execution of devotional service only, and therefore he should only mix with devotees in order to advance his objective. In other words, when it says here, without intimate connection, this means with non-devotees. This doesn't mean that you don't have intimate relationships with the devotees. That's what it means. And it says, aprasangata, means without intimate association with the non-devotees. Continuing on, a devotee is concerned with his execution of devotional service, and he should therefore mix with devotees only in order to advance his objective. He has no business mixing with others, for although he does not see anyone as his enemy, his dealings are only with persons who engage in devotional service. A devotee should observe the vow of celibacy. Celibacy does not necessitate that one be absolutely free from sex life. Satisfaction of one's wife is permitted also under the vow of celibacy. The best policy is to avoid sex life altogether. That is preferable. Otherwise, a devotee can get married under religious principles and live peacefully with a wife. A devotee should not speak needlessly. A serious devotee has no time to speak of nonsense. He is always busy in Krishna consciousness. Whenever he speaks about Krishna. Mauna means silence. Silence does not mean that he should not speak at all, but that he should not speak of nonsense. He should be very enthusiastic in speaking about Krishna. Another important item described here is svadharmena, or being exclusively occupied in one's eternal occupation, which is to act as the eternal servitor of the Lord, or to act in Krishna consciousness. The next word, baliyasa, means offering the results of all activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee does not act on his personal account for sense gratification. Whatever he earns, whatever he eats, and whatever he does, he offers for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vande Sri Guru. Sri Jata. Panakamala. Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Sri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. Pretty practical information here. How to be a devotee. This is great. This is just what we need to hear. Here we are battling it out with our senses, you see, every day, battling it out, trying to keep them on the track. You know they keep going off the track. But these are wonderful and practical tips here from in the Bhagavatam, exactly how to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. There shouldn't be any difficulties. I was explaining last night, you just got to follow the recipe. And then it's not difficult to be Krishna conscious. If you concoct your own recipe, well, I'm going to make up my own recipe. You're going to go nowhere. But if you simply follow the instructions given in the Bhagavatam, then it's just, it's like, as they say in English, it's a piece of cake. It's really easy. It's really easy. So the first thing, see every living entity equally. Bhagavad Gita, Panditastama Darshina. See every living entity. It doesn't matter. Man, woman, dog, cow, elephant, dog eater, you see. Non-devotee, devotee, see everyone equally, you see. See everyone as a part and parcel, living entity of the Supreme Personality of God, a little spark of Krishna. Even a little mouse is a spark of Krishna, or the rat, the spark of Krishna. In this way, see every living entity as Krishna's manifestation. Meant to engage in Krishna's service. Without enmity toward anyone. So if you see everyone is Krishna's part and parcel, how you can be have enmity towards anyone? Everyone is a manifestation of Krishna. So you can love everyone, isn't it? So that's the second point. Without intimate connections, this is an important... Sometimes devotees think, well, you can't be intimate with devotees because you... That's impersonalism. Don't think this instruction means not to be intimate with devotees. You shouldn't have a close, loving relationship with devotees. No, we have to. In fact, Krishna says, what is that? I forget the Sanskrit, but he says, he tells Arjuna, the one who is my devotee is not my devotee. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktaschate janaha, mad bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. The one who is my devotee, ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. It's him. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, you understand, he is my actual devotee. So if you want to be a devotee of Krishna, you better find a devotee or some devotees you can become devoted to. Because unless you have the calling card of being the devotee of the devotee, you're not in, you're out. in his death. That's why guru is required and Vaishnavas are required. You must have guru and you must have Vaishnavas. Otherwise, you are out, you are nowhere as far as Krishna is concerned. It doesn't matter if you're chanting 16 rounds a day and following the principles. If you're not devoted to guru and to devotees, you are nowhere. That's a fact. Your chanting will not continue. It will be finished sooner or later. So, that's another very important point. We must make loving relationships with Vaishnavas. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has explicated six different ways we can have loving relationships with devotees. Giving gifts, receiving gifts, revealing your mind, hearing them reveal their minds to you, offering them prasadam, accepting prasadam from their hands. You see, these are the six loving exchanges with devotees. And if we will engage in these, then we will have warm, wonderful relationships, you see. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters here, you see. Uncles, aunts, cousins. It's a wonderful family. Krishna's family, you see. So being a part of this family, of having loving relationships with all the family members, even if I disagree with someone, even if they have a different philosophy than me, at least we can all agree that Krishna is God and that we're all His servants, you see. And on that basis, we can have loving relationship with every devotee, even if there's some disagreement. One has to observe celibacy, tapasa brahmacharina, you see. But Prabhupada says celibacy also means to have sex only with your wife for producing progeny. So, therefore, as I've many times explained, this is a brahmachari movement, you see. Everyone is brahmachari here. We have five different kinds of brahmacharis. We have brahmachari, brahmacharis, brahmacharini, brahmacharis, grihastha brahmacharis, vanaprastha brahmacharis, and sannyas brahmacharis. We are all brahmacharis here. Simply brahmachari, 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 you see. That is our consciousness. That sex is only for producing Krishna conscious children, otherwise I abstain completely from sex. I don't meditate on it, I don't talk about it, I get it out of my head because it's not very important. In the material world, sex is all important. Freud said, and Prabhupada agreed, that in terms of the material world, Freud was right. Everything revolves around sex. You see, but we're giving up the material world. We're kissing the material world goodbye, so to speak. We're saying, "I'm finished with you. I'm out of here. I want something better." So we're not in that. We're not in that sex mode anymore. You see, sex, 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 sex. We don't care about sex anymore. We want to forget about it. It's just like a bad dream. It was like a nightmare we were having. You see, now we want to walk away from that nightmare. We want to come to the transcendental platform of pure bliss. It doesn't mean you can't be a married person and have a nice marriage. That is included within Krishna consciousness. But that is not done in sex consciousness, you understand? That is done in Krishna consciousness. So whether you're married or you're single, still we give up sex consciousness. We come to Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it is millions and millions of times better than sex consciousness. That's why. It's called superior pleasure. Vishyabhani vartante nirahara shidehina rasavarsham shopyasha parang vishvani vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remain. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So one may say, well, I will be brahmachari, tapasa brahmachena, but the mind is still being disturbed by those thoughts, you see. And one is not peaceful then. And one will fall back again too. But if you can, instead of saying, well, I just got to kick it out, you just hold on to something better, you see. I mean, who wants to eat a bowl of stew when you can have a, you know, strawberry ice cream? You know what I mean? Once you've tasted strawberry ice cream, you know, this sex pleasure is just a bowl of stool, really. Just a big bowl of stool. Who wants a bowl of stool for breakfast? I sure wouldn't want to touch it. Of course, the pig thinks it's great. He gets all excited, like those sanitation engineers in Vrindavan, you know, cleaning up the stool. Hey, this is their diet. Oh, fresh stool, whoopee, haribo. They go running for the fresh stool. So we are not in the stool marg, you see. We are on the pathway of stool eating. Our pathway is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And our most beloved Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, he has given a wonderful shloka describing the incredible glories of this supremely beautiful Krishna, names of Krishna. If I can remember that verse. Tunde tandamani ritin vitanute tundavali lamdaye karna kroda kadambani gatayate kunarbuje brihaspriham Chaita prangana sangani vijayate sravendriyanam kritin no jane janita kiyad biramite amrite krishneti varna dvai. You know that shloka? Very nice shloka. It means this: I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. And when that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the name of Krishna dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers all the activities of the mind. And the senses become completely inert, totally absorbed in Krishna bhakti. So this is how much nectar there is in the name. What does this mean anyway? How do we understand this verse? Desiring many millions of ears, many millions of mouths. What is the meaning? Well, here's a nice example to understand it. Everyone likes an opulent love feast, right? Glamant, glab jamans, pakoras, sandes, sweet rice, puri, luchi, chapati, 15 different varieties of sabjis, etc. Everyone likes that, isn't it? Everyone relishes an ecstatic love feast. So just imagine and say, Prabhu, I have a wonderful feast for you. I wanted to let you really enjoy this feast. It's in the other room here. You walk into this room, you see. This is for you to enjoy, you see. You come in and there's the whole room is filled with prasadam. There's, 15 different types of halva, 25 different types of cheesecake, 3 different varieties of homemade ice cream, 25 different types of sabjis, you get the idea. Mountains of prasadam. You say, Prabhu, here's the spoon. Now relish it. You say, well, what can I do? I just have one little belly. I mean, you give me a whole prasada, a whole temple room full of prasada. I just have one belly. I mean, how much can I enjoy it? You see? So you can say, well, today I desire many millions of mouths and many millions of stomachs. And then I could really begin to relish this whole temple room full of prasada that you've offered me. Otherwise, what can I do? I can just take a little tiny sample of it, you see. So in the same way, you see, Rupa Goswami is thinking there's so much nectar in Krishna that one mouth is not enough, two ears is not enough. It's just not enough to get, I can't get the, it has more nectar than I can possibly taste with my one little mouth and my two little ears. It's just more nectar than I can possibly drink in. So therefore, I need millions of ears and millions of mouths. So I can begin to taste some of this nectar, you see. So this is how sweet the holy name is, you see. With our one little mouth and our two little ears, it's hard for us to really realize how much nectar there is in the name. But at least let us fully drink in whatever we can do with this one mouth and these two ears, you see. Because if we do so, we'll experience how the holy name is dancing within our heart. Just dancing, 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 dancing. And will be all the material desires will become completely finished. They'll simply desire Krishna consciousness and nothing else, you see. that everything is within Krishna and Krishna is in everything. Everything I could possibly desire is all there, right there in those two syllables, Krishna. Everything I could ever possibly desire, it's right there in those two syllables. All my desires fulfilled. Krishna, right there, everything, you see. So in this way, if one understands the science of bhakti, then one can be solidly fixed on this pathway and not have any laments. Why did I take up these vows? Now I can't enjoy my senses anymore. Do you know how to really satisfy your senses? Do you know the secret of how to really satisfy your senses? The secret is your senses are part and parcel of Krishna. And if you satisfy Krishna, then your senses will become satisfied millions and millions of times better than if you try to gratify them individually. You understand? Just try to satisfy Govinda. Govinda means the one who gives pleasure to the senses. Krishna consciousness does not mean you give up sense pleasure. Don't think Krishna consciousness means you give up sense pleasure. It means you expand your sense pleasure millions and billions of times. That's what it means. That is Krishna consciousness. Expand your sense pleasure millions and billions of times. Whatever pleasure you could get by gratifying your senses, if you will gratify the senses of Krishna, because your senses are part and parcel of Krishna, they will become millions and billions of times more gratified when you gratify Krishna. That is the insider secret of how to really enjoy your senses. We don't say give up sense enjoyment. We say expand it unlimitedly. And here's the secret of how to do it. Give pleasure to Govinda, and he'll give pleasure to you. You understand? This is the way to do. This is the way. All of your senses become completely satisfied. Everything. And just satisfy Govinda, that's all you have to do. Simple thing. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. This is your last chance until next year. Yeah.
For a beginner, a chanter, it's really difficult to have this nectar of the holy name immediately. It doesn't happen so easily.
So how do you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, in the beginning, you know, you got to have a lot of faith. You tell me, Sankarjan, with all this nectar is there, but you know, I'm not tasting it right now, but sense gratification, I can taste it right now. So how am I supposed to, make that transition, to jump the gap, you see? Well, there's an old folk song that kind of gets a nice example, and it's called The Ballad of Desert Pete. It's a popular song in the U.S. back in the 50s. And in this song, it was called You. It went like this. You got to prime the pump. You got to have faith and believe. You must give up yourself before you're worthy to receive. So anyway, there was this man. He was crossing the desert. And he was almost dying of thirst. You see, he's almost finished. But he came upon this well. And he was so happy. Now I can drink. And there was a cup of water sitting there. By the way, where's my cup of water? But anyway. Oh, it is here. Oh, it's hidden behind the lectern. So, this man dying of thirst came up on the well and there was a cup of water. He was so happy he was going to drink the cup of water, but he read this note on the well and it said, "Don't drink the cup of water." What? He said, "Use this water to prime the..." This pump wouldn't pump on its own. You have to prime it first with water to get the water to come out. It said, "Use this cup to prime the well, and then you can drink unlimitedly." So he was wondering what to do. You know, should I have faith in the note? Or should I just drink the water, you know? But he read it, but then it went, he continued reading the rest of the note that Desert Pete had written. It said, "You have to prime the pump, You have to have faith and believe. You must give of yourself before you're worthy to receive. So he decided to put faith in old Desert Pete. And he poured that cup of water down the well. And sure enough, he got unlimited water. He filled up all his canteens. He had enough water to make it all the way across the desert. That one cup would not have made it across the desert. See, he would have died anyway on one cup of water. It wouldn't have been enough to make it all the way across the desert. And it said, make sure to fill the cup up for the next person. So he did it. He put his faith in old Desert Pete. He didn't drink the cup. He used it to prime the pump. And sure enough, he got unlimited water out of that well. And he was in great shape. So, we're telling you, you got to have faith. You have to give up the immediate sense gratification that your senses are craving. You have to give it up. You see, the cigarette says, give me a cigarette, you say, no, chanting Krishna. The genitals say, give me sex, you say, no, chanting Krishna. You see, whatever desire you have, material desire, you just say, wait a minute. First give, and then you'll receive unlimitedly. Instead of taking a little bit now and having nothing more, give, just sacrifice that little bit now, offer it to Krishna, and then get unlimited, you see. That's the point. So instead of having faith in old Desert Pete, you have said faith in Srila Gurudev, you see, the spiritual master. Because he's telling you, just like Desert Pete was telling that thirsty man, if you give up the sense enjoyment, you will get unlimited pleasure, an unlimited ocean of pleasure. You'll be drowning, you'll be swimming and surfing in that ocean of unlimited pleasure. But you have to give up that little pleasure in the beginning. You see, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. You see, that's the principle. If you put your faith in the spiritual master, if you put the faith in Srila Prabhupada and all the great Vaishnava acharyas, you see, you're going to get an unlimited reward, I guarantee it. You got to put faith, that's all. You have to have faith. Don't you have faith when you get on an elevator that the cable's not going to snap? Otherwise, why would you get in it? You're putting faith in the elevator, aren't you, when you get on it? Yes, you are. So now put faith in this elevator, Krishna consciousness elevator. We're going to elevate you far beyond what that elevator will take you, to the 10th floor. We'll take you beyond the millionth floor, all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. Put your faith in the Hare Krishna elevator, you see. The cable's not going to snap. We're not going to leave you high and dry, taking away your sense pleasure and leave you with nothing but impersonal Brahman. We're going to give you the personality of Godhead as your intimate associate. You want an intimate associate, don't you? We're going to give you the supreme personality of Godhead as your intimate associate, eternal intimate associate, the most beautiful boy you could ever imagine. He's going to be your eternal intimate associate. So in this way, you have to put your faith, and you're going to get an unlimited reward. Is that okay? Jai. Okay, anything else? That really says it all, but yeah, go ahead.
Last summer in South Pimilasa seminar, it was said that for women it's better to get married, but there it says that it's better to not to get married, so that makes me very confused.
No, for men it's better not to get married, and for women it's better to get married. Prabhupada said, that is the dilemma. In our movement, we have so many handsome, very good-looking boys and so many good-looking girls, you see. And Prabhupada's telling all the boys, you stay single, and you're telling the girls, you all get married. Now, how do you solve the dilemma? Actually, you know what Prabhupada did? I heard it on a tape years ago when I was in Dallas. Prabhupada said, if there's any girl who learns how to cook very nicely and how to be very chaste, I will personally see that she gets married. So Prabhupada's present promise is still there. If you become very chaste, that means you're in the mood of being submissive, humble servant. You see, that's chaste woman. And you also know how to cook nicely. Every lady should know how to cook nicely. Then Prabhupada, even though he's not here physically, Prabhupada will make sure you get a good husband. You don't have to worry about it. Prabhupada will take care of me. How he's going to do that, we don't know. It's a dilemma. All these men are told to stay brahmachari, and Tattvavad makes sure they stay brahmachari. Tattvavad Prabhu makes sure they stay brahmachari. So somehow Krishna will arrange it. You just have faith. You're going to get, if you follow this process, you're going to get a first-class husband. It definitely will happen. So, in this way, then girls should get married. Of course, if some extraordinary woman wanted to remain single, no one's going to force her to get married. It happened in Boston Temple, I remember, my god-sister, Arundhati. Prabhupada was making arrangements for all the girls to get married, but she thought, what is this? I'm told to marry this devotee. She said, no way, I don't want to get married. Prabhupada said, okay, you don't have to get married. And then all the other girls were married. Every girl in the ashram had her husband, and she was the lone wolf, you know. And then she decided she wanted to get married after that. So no girl is forced to get married. But actually, it's a natural psychology. A girl likes to have a good husband. It's a natural psychology. Unless you're really, really transcendental. It is possible. I mean, look at the Chaitanya Leela. Remember that... the prostitute who tried to seduce Haridas Thakur, she became like a sannyasini. Of course, not formally sannyasini, but practically like a sannyasini, just living alone and worshipping the Tulsi and chanting 300,000 names a day. There are examples of extraordinary women who did that. But generally, how many women can chant 300,000 names a day? How many men can do that, you know? So, therefore the ladies are encouraged to get married by Srila Prabhupada. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? All right then. We'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your coming today to absorb your ears in the supreme nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. Yad Vaishnavan Vaishnavanam Priyam Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.